Welcome to the Creative Hustle Show. Ladies and gentlemen, today I have a very important, prominent writer, author, entrepreneur, artist, creator, one of the biggest pivotal people I met when I moved to the Northwest who helped my career. Like my first photos on stage when I was doing comedy, I had one guy. He made the paparazzi moment for me, bro. I didn't have nothing, bro, but he used to come get me and walk me on stage and like, just stand over there, just take the first video. That was before TikTok, reels and stuff. He used to make it. So, but he has a lot more going on. And I want to introduce him to you guys. My name is Dubai Dennis. I'm a creative here in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show again. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the author, the leader, the community inspiration, the Odogwu of Northwest with roots in Haiti. A husband, a friend, a brother. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, my team?
Welcome, man. I even forgot. He's a coach. He's a Christian leader. He has inspired the youth. Ask the youth. Ask them.
Bro, welcome to the show.
Bro. How you doing, bro?
Welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you, man. For having me.
Man, just the commitment from Tacoma here. Oh, thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, for me, normally it takes me 5 business days to get to Tacoma. You took like an hour to get here, so I appreciate it.
40 minutes.
So, Tell the audience exactly in your own words the nature of your work.
I'm a speaker. My goal is, as a speaker, is to empower, equip, elevate people to walk fully into whom God created to be with no limits and no excuses attached. Mm-hmm. Turning your pain into purpose. Understand you're not an accident. And every time you breathe in, that's purpose. And when you breathe out, that's potential.
Did you hear that? Big words. Potential. Breathe in. Breathe out. Now, you've been a speaker for a while.
Yeah.
How did you get into speaking? How did you get into speaking business?
So I started with a vision at 13 years old. Mm-hmm. I remember being in middle school, sitting down on the ground at Shinnick Middle School, CTAC, and watching Martin Luther King's speech. His I Have a Dream speech. And that speech is very important because, you know, usually we have dreams, we say, I have, past tense.
He have. we talk about like my dreams were.
Yeah.
These my dreams are.
I have. The speech, because we know that the key word in that small sentence is have vision,
longevity.
Yeah, longevity. Mm-hmm. I have a dream. Mm-hmm. No matter what day, hour it is,
it's there.
It's there. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting there, and our teacher was like, I want you to write your I Have a Dream speech. And I said, okay, I have a dream to become a speaker, I'm going to become a writer, I'm going to impact lives throughout, right, nationally. And when people started telling me, oh, okay, what's your dream? This is my dream, writing, speaking, travel around the world, inspiring others. And I started seeing it through visions, the platform, the stage at 13 mm-hmm. years old. And I just went with that. And then next thing you know, 17 years old, I was...
you've been writing, this is writing all this project, 17, you're still writing. Yeah.
At 17 years old, I had an opportunity to go to Kansas City, Missouri, where the Holland School District excused my absence for 3 days to speak at this big conference called OSHA, which stands for America's School Association of Doctors, Lawyers, Teachers, Nurses. All
that's an annual thing.
Annual thing. Mm-hmm. America's School Association. I was one of 4 speakers speaking to thousands of adults.
Ooh.
And that was when I was like, oh yeah, this is my
This is it. This is it. I'm here.
Yeah. And then after that, it just opened doors.
Everything else blew up from there.
Everything blew from there. All under 20.
Under 20, ladies and gentlemen. And cut.
Now let's do this. Make sure I only take you once. Only one take. So I'm not pausing and see if the sound and everything.
Okay.
So I want to ask some questions to give our listeners or viewers a more deeper insight into your creative process and what got you to where you were. So my first question to you is, what inspired you to become a writer, and how has your Haitian background influenced your work?
What inspired me to become a writer is the vision of my father 13 years old. I just believe it was my purpose in life was to write books and speak and mm-hmm. really empower churches throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And my Haitian background, man, Haitian culture, mm-hmm. Haitian family,
correct.
Man, you're instilled hard work. Whatever you do, stay to it, stay true to the course. Mm-hmm. And if this is what you started, like hard work ethics is what's engraved in the Haitian household. Quitting is not an option. You have to get it done. And if you say this is what you want to be, and you say this is what you see yourself doing, do it. So I had no choice do it.
It's in already ingrained.
It's ingrained in me, mm-hmm. right? If you see it, do it. Don't waste your time doing things that will not, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So, you know, knowing that ethic, you know, be just being instilled in me, I just use that as my motivation to say, you know what, I'm gonna get it done.
You're gonna get it done. Apart from also, the writing part, you also had a little interest in photography. How did you slide there? We're coming back to books. I'm gonna go back with you. How did you get there? Because I saw, you know, I mentioned the camera.
Yeah.
You know, I was waiting for you to move now to Steven Spielberg, you know, Josiah Spielberg, but you don't shoot that movie. What happened to Wakanda 4?
JP photography.
Yeah, remember?
I remember those guys.
Oh man. Tell us though, even the experience though.
I think with that man, especially a lot of photos, and I was like, these are not good photos, right? And I was like, let me go ahead and go to the store, get a camera, and try this out.
Great.
And that's what I did, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, okay. And I didn't know I had a gift of photography, because a lot of people could see angles of people. Like, okay,
this is a way to have a gift, correct.
Right? And some people I know, I see photos, and I'm like, this is not your angle. Like, this is not good.
You're forcing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, if I see how people do things, well, okay, this is your angle right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want the beauty to come out of people. And one thing about photography is people love taking photos, especially if you're in the field of being a runway fashion model.
Yeah.
And people love to look cute, right, or handsome down the you know, the walkway. And I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and try this out. But I never know my tryouts would be this big.
Ooh, you're in every show now. I media pass and everything.
Yeah, I didn't know that this mall thing I went to buy, though, because it really was me just doing it for fun.
Good.
Right? Give me two events for free.
Just getting in. Yeah, like access to people that networking. Yeah.
And I never knew it was going to be meeting you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was going to be like shooting all these African fashion models, you know, fashion shows and all these big events happening in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay. And that took a pause. And I went back to
the books part.
Books part.
Ladies and gentlemen, I met him. And he made me look good at Spirit of Africa. Shout out to Spirit of Africa Festival. Every year it's an Afrobeat festival here in Seattle. Make sure you go check it out. Now, question number two. We're going back now to the books. Could you share with us a journey of how you became, ladies and gentlemen, five-time Amazon bestseller. This achievement, I need a badge. Next time I'll have a badge for you. How did you get to that journey, and what would you give aspiring authors as an encouraging word when it comes to your creative process?
Yeah, good question. So every book, I'm a non-fictional author, right? So it's true. Everything I write will be real, raw, true, go from there. Every book has a reason. So what we don't know is I was diagnosed with epilepsy as a baby. My first 13 years of life, I was in the hospital fighting for my life because of epilepsy, seizures. And what people don't know is when you have seizures and your right brain is working, the left brain is not, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have
the connecting
when you have seizures. And go to school, I always heard from people, educators, give up on that dream, throw in the towel, you'll never become anything. Stop believing. I used to stutter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was in speech class from K to 12. I had an IEP. Individual education plan, special education. So people see me was like, yes, I can happen for you. So my first book came out called The Power of Your Words.
The Power of Your Words.
How the words you speak will determine, you know, what you leave behind, legacy. It will also determine what manifests out in your present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew one thing, that the most dangerous weapon we have as human beings is our tongue. So I can speak letters, life, and death in the power of the tongue. So if I affirm what people are telling me about my life, I mean, it wouldn't come true. But because I spoke something different, something different happened.
Yeah.
So no matter what people were saying, hey, give up on your goals and your dream, become an author and speaker, look at you. I spoke something different from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that book came out, The Power of Your Words. And my second book is called What Is Your Why Behind the Drive?
What is your why behind the drive? Okay.
Because a lot of folks were asking me questions.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you Jamaican have five jobs, man. Like, what else are you doing? You know? And I was doing everything.
We're working. That's us.
I was doing everything. And it was like, no, I was in a journey trying to figure out what do I like.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a journey trying to figure out, okay, you know, America's an opportunity. How can I snatch more opportunities being in America
being from Haiti. Yeah. Like, I can't just be here sitting around. Yeah.
I grew up here, but my parents always say, you know, like, hey, I see my dad.
Yeah.
He came here, he took opportunities left and right.
Correct.
And I did what my dad did, took opportunities left and right.
Correct.
Trying to figure out what's best for me. So when people ask me, why you do what you do, I was tired of answering that question. I said, you know what?
Yeah, let me
buy my book.
Yeah, this is
what did you want to have a job? Yeah. And I never knew that book would be a thing that will impact so much lives, which got to reach Yahoo Finance.
Ooh, that was big. Big up to Yahoo Finance for that book.
Yeah. As you know, and that book came out in 2020.
Yeah.
In 2021, I was recognized in Yahoo Finance as one of the top 10 inspirational African Americans of 2021 with Ice Cube.
Top 10
inspiration.
You, Ice Cube, one page, one life.
Mm-hmm.
This guy.
And from there on, I think that's what got me to my third book, 2020, you know, life events of civil unrest and injustices. I wrote my third book called Our Cry for Justice.
Our Cry for Justice. So I'm picking up something with the books, the themes of how you're going. Now you're coming back now to community. You're moved from your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You're now on social justice.
Social justice.
Yes.
And I was like, I'll cry for justice. And I was tired of people who don't understand why people of color have to keep on marching or keep on crying. Because it's like, hey, that could have been, Emmett Till could have been my brother.
Mm-hmm. Elijah Lewis could have been my brother.
You're right.
Yeah.
All these people could have been somebody's sibling, somebody's son. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is the best way to release a message of injustices in the world instead of writing about it? How can I put it in the form of art?
Correct.
Writing is art. I did the poetry. So correct. My third book is a poetry book.
Now you're moving. Now you're now healing the cook.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading. I'm seeing your map. I'm seeing your map.
It's a poetry love book it. Going from Mother Teresa to Breonna Taylor. And I think because Yahoo Finance, of me being named as one of the top 10 rich African Americans, that book, when it came out in 2021, hit bestseller in Amazon in 5 different categories.
Whoa, congrats, my bro.
Thanks, so, man.
Get that in. Woo, that's what I'm talking about.
And I was just like, I'm a former member of the NAACP for Seattle.
Mm-hmm. They have NAACP in every state.
I can't.
We don't know that, but we have one here.
We have one here. Yeah. So I was a former NAACP. I'm a very active member of NAACP for the Seattle chapter here, and I was very much involved. You know, you might see me some of the rallies in Seattle. You know, but really, it was like, how can I relay a message to people who don't look like me?
Correct.
To show them, hey, just because you don't understand the struggle, don't undermine the struggle.
Mm. Just because you don't understand the struggle, don't undermine the struggle.
Germs, bro.
Telling big words here today, bro. This whole experience, you, Ice Cube. Sometimes when I'm around those platforms, I get overwhelmed because I didn't imagine it going that far. You being around all these influential, amazing African-American pioneers. How did that affect your professional and personal career? How did you feel coming back home? How did you receive that?
Man, to be honest, man, when I got recognized in Yahoo Finance, all I said was, God, thank you. I never asked for it. Mm-hmm. I never seen this coming. This was in my vision.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about media outlets reaching out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about what I said was, God, I'm giving my vision. This is my vision that you gave me. I'm going to put it in your seat, in your driver's seat, and you make it happen.
Let me know what I'm supposed to do.
You're not supposed to do it.
Yeah, correct.
And then, from there on, after getting featured in Yahoo Finance,
correct,
my speaking engagement started boosting up like crazy.
It
was like I was averaging 5 to 10 engagements a year.
Right? That was before.
Before.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, that was not bad, actually. That's not bad, yeah.
Ever since Yahoo Finance, I've been averaging 10 to 15 to 20 engagements a year.
And every year,
it's going to go up.
Correct.
And so it's like, wow, in which that itself brought the next recognition of LA Wire.
Ooh.
30 under 30.
LA Wire, I'm talking about LA Wire and Business EL, right?
Business Elite, yeah.
Business Elite. What is Business Elite?
Business Elite is a platform of entrepreneurs, business makers, people who make an impact in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize them as people like 40 under 40.
Oh, 40 under 40.
Making impact with their their field of work. And so I was nominated there as basically 40 under 40 as a person who make impact.
What has been the most rewarding aspect of sharing your messages on all these platforms? Like Yes, Yes, Business Elite, LAY. What has been most rewarding for you? Not anybody else, but for you.
My most rewarding in these platforms, like even the other side speak at, is seeing the healing that happens.
Through your story?
Through a story. And, you know, and I think a lot of people see the story, but a lot of people see the glory. They don't know the story.
The story, correct, correct.
And just being vulnerable with people, right? Just telling them my story, my journey, and seeing, yo, somebody else in the room had the same impact, the same struggle. And just seeing the transformation in the room is just amazing. You know, when you're talking about, I remember one of my biggest stages that I spoke at, it was in Depot Bay, Oregon. It was like 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it was a Reach One Teach One conference. And Reach One Teach One conference is a youth, BIPOC, the youth who's in this conference, trying to figure out, you know, what is their goal purpose. And I had to start with this journey asking the question, mm-hmm. when you see me, what do you see?
When you see me, what do you see?
Mm-hmm. And people always see the visible, but they don't see the indivisible. They don't see, hey, you know what? This person was born with a disability that's not seen.
You're seeing the healed,
right?
You worked on yourself, go and sprinkle some sugar.
Exactly.
Okay.
People see, hey, a lot of people don't know that majority of the disabilities out there in the world is unseen. People don't know that. So if you don't see me blind or you don't see like any physical issues, you don't think.
You assume everything is good, yeah.
If I didn't tell you I had epilepsy, you would never know.
I would never know. I've never known about the classes, the speech. I would have never known. Literally, I would just, photographer, Mr. Right. TMZ, let's go.
So when people see my bio and they see all these passions like, that I'm in, they're like, I want to do that. I'm like, you sure? Because this I have to go through to get to here. As you share my story, I remember this one time I was done speaking, the principal at this high school in Depot Bay, and some students came to me afterwards, and they just hugged me. From the students and the principal was like, you don't even know what you just did.
To the students.
And to him. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, what you just did was broke something in me that I thought I never had. And I was like, explain. He goes, I'm a principal, but I question my work every single day because of my calling in my life. I was like, so you went to school to become a principal. You got all these certifications, but even in the midst of being a principal, you questioned it. He goes, I don't know what's my purpose. And he was like, because of the Reach One Teach One, you showed me this was actually my calling in my life, is to take this role serious. And then the kids will come and start crying. And that's how I got to meet Les Brown. Because after I was done, he goes, you know what? Are you doing anything else after that? I was like, no, I'm not doing anything else. He was like, here's a ticket, a VIP ticket to go see Les Brown. He was in Portland, Oregon.
Ooh.
You know, you got to be hungry.
You got to be hungry. You got to just start driving. And that's a drive. That's a commitment.
And so I went to Les Brown VIP.
Yeah.
And I asked Les Brown all our questions. And ever since then, something else is coming down with Les Brown. We'll talk about it later.
All right, let's get it later. As a young achiever, how do you handle pressure and expectations of first, both as a keynote speaker, of course, in your speaking business, as an author, and of course, right now as a husband as well? How do you handle that pressure of being listed alongside big names like, again, Ice Cube, Ariana Grande, Lil Nas X, you're on the same platform? Do you get a lot of messages, a lot of people reaching out with unrealistic expectations, because that's some stuff we go through. How do you handle it?
Man, to be honest with you, bro, my wife is my business partner. Mm-hmm. My wife, she's my assistant. So yeah. By default, she helps me out. So how I handle it is, if people, you know, I have a booking platform mm-hmm. where people can book me. Mm-hmm. If they need a consultation, you got a good 15-minute consultation. Mm-hmm. But it's my time. So how I handle it is, what's a priority? I review priorities. I let my wife handle all that stuff. Mm-hmm. She will handle from the scheduling, from all that, before they can talk to me. So I don't even see.
You don't go in the middle. You don't see all that.
I refuse.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, get you a wife. Okay. And so do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on? Something that we should be looking forward to? Maybe writing in the future? Just paint something for us. What's your size future looking like?
So I have a book number 6 coming out. It's a collaboration book.
Correct.
With the Les Brown.
Les Brown. Ladies and gentlemen, Les Brown.
And we have a book about together. Talk about your story sells. Talk about how your story could be a jewel to somebody else's lifeline. Like your testimony is a lifeline for someone else's breakthrough.
Your story is a lifeline for someone else's breakthrough. I'm telling you, big words today, big words. What role does your spirituality play in your creative process?
Everything. I would say majority of all the things that I do is really being driven by God. The books that come out, the platforms I'm in, stuff like that, is he's in the driver's seat. And I will say this, for somebody who's seen his vision at the same time as somebody who was like, okay, I need to do this work. I was like, God, you do what you got to do. You got me in this world. You know, you say I'm not here as an accident here. You got a purpose for me. So go ahead and make it happen. And, you know, every opportunity so far, it's he did it.
He did it. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. When you're faced with obstacles of funding, you know, traveling is not cheap. Marketing your brand is not cheap. What other ways do you find to funnel and keep your brand going as a small business owner?
You know, I will say this, the brand and the funnel and the speed, all that, it never been an issue at all. People make it happen. You know, and I'll say like this is, these engagements that I have, like I don't have no actual place for like a YouTube channel. I don't have a YouTube channel. But every conference that I go to, they all have the people who conference the video editors, the people who do video, stuff like that. And the video people will send the videos out to other people looking for speakers.
Good.
And those people reach out to me. So the majority of my speaking engagements and the formal aspect come from these conferences.
Word of mouth, good recommendation. Yep. Actually, that's the best way to get recommended. This is it.
Yeah.
You heard from Josiah how he's motivated, what he does for the community. He has showed you a little palette, a little template of how he works, from how he writes and how he has ended up in some of the biggest stages in the world. It's a story of resilience. It's a story of spirituality. It's a story of belief. It's a story of dreams. It's a lot of things, and I hope you're learning something beautiful from this interaction here today. Yo, Josiah, my bro, in every industry, because I was in the comedy industry for a long time in the music industry.
Yeah, you were.
But one of the reasons I keep people thinking, I love the fact that you said that you were handling so many things. Some people think handling so many things means you're lost in what you really want to do. But that market was saturated a lot. A lot of people waiting for something unique, an enigma of creativity. How do you survive in this little big pool? I said little big pool of authors. How do you stand out?
Woo, man. Man, how do I stand out? There's a big pool of authors with a lot of authors coming out right now writing books. Like, what makes me different from other authors out there where I stand out? I would say it's authenticity. At the same time, it's really knowing your tribe. Knowing your tribe. You know, what I did is I knew me being an author was something that was destined inside of me, which I know that was a God birth purpose for me to write books. Second thing is network. You never know who you can meet with your network.
Correct.
You never know the door that can open with your network. You never know how far something could take you because you met one person. And I would say after releasing my All Cry for Justice book, that's when big things started happening with the book. honest. Like, being asked to come to Atlanta, I was a 2-time author of the year recognition in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't live in Atlanta.
You're here. I'm here. But your message is there already.
It's there already. Mm-hmm. You know, author of the year. I'm in the front magazine of the Author All-Star magazine.
Ooh.
Twice, back to back. And nominated as such an author of the year, back to back. All the way from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm here.
Here. In the law Northwest,
you just never know
who's seen your work,
who's impacted by your yes.
Yes,
and I always say this: say yes and trust God with the rest.
Mm.
Because I believe that because of my commitment, being firm, being consistent in this journey, and because of the impact that's being reached nationally, it is now getting to places I never thought I would even get to. Like, you're talking about. My name is being about to be mentioned in a conference in Canada as an author out of Seattle, Washington, for a big conference in Canada. And they're asking me, if can I come out to Canada and speak at their conference as an author? How do you find me? People have my book.
We have the book.
We have the book. How do you find me? Oh, you were in a front magazine of Author All-Star magazine, and we Googled you. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'll say, because of that, what stands me out is the commitment to the process. Everything is a process. This is not a marathon, right? Everything has a process. And when you're committed to the process, people see you're committed to it. Lots of good happen.
I like the two things that I hit on. The first one, when you spoke about people don't see the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
People don't see the darkness. There's this analogy of, I was listening to another podcast like a few days ago. They were talking about a tree. And a tree grows both ways. People don't know that. The bottom grows faster than the top. That's where the roots go. The roots have a lot more resistance because they have to dig through soil. But the little that is seen by the time you have a little leaf popping out, little foliage popping out, the roots have already done a lot of the work before that one leaf is up. So the trees go in both ways. So for every blessing that you're given, same measure of resistance. The other part you brought up that I like is you mentioned that it's, you know what I'm saying, it's a journey. There's no destination. This guy said everything in life, from relationships to your career, don't look at it as there's no destination of soft life. There's a journey. So the journey is the softness.
Mm-hmm.
The process of the journey is what you get to enjoy. There's no book of the destination. No one has ever seen the destination. So thank you for sharing that with us. And for authors that you look up to, do you have any authors? I love Chinua Achebe. I'm biased. And, I used to love that surgeon. What's his name before he went to Republican? I don't like him no more. That brain surgeon. I don't like him. I used to like his books when I was young. I memorized his books. Castle or something. Ben Carson.
Okay.
I don't like him now. His books are in the fireplace. So what about you? Which other do you like?
Man, Les Brown. Mm-hmm. You gotta be hungry.
You gotta be hungry.
Man, him.
Yeah.
I like Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
You know, I like, he is Eric Dyson.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of authors that I like.
Are they all in the States? Are they spread out all over the world?
All spread out all over the world.
Okay.
These are names that people get to see as public figures. Like Eric Thomas.
Yes.
That's my number one
Kurt.
Author that I like, his mm-hmm. books and stuff like that. When I read books, I read more about, hey, development, self-development.
Oh, so you like the self-development books?
Yeah, okay. Self-development. Okay. And I read books for people who I know already in the field that I want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, like, how did you get to become a number one motivational speaker, Eric Thomas? He has books and he gives people his secrets on how he got to the top or what he did. And my goal isn't to be at the top. My goal is to be the best in my field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm already there.
I like that. I like the confidence that do you see your book somewhere placed? Do you ever walk through Barnes & Noble or Elliott book company down somewhere where the library is and just imagine a book? It's one of those things.
I'm happy you said that. My book is actually at Barnes & Noble Northgate.
What?
You could walk into Northgate right now and get my book.
And it's under what category? Ladies and gentlemen, top is
nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
What is your why behind the drive? It's at Barnes & Noble Northgate Mall. Northgate and Barnes & Noble.
Whoa! Look at this!
Yeah.
Now, we have to get Elliott Library, Elliott Bay, right there by CRU.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big up too for readers. I like going there. They can tap in and see, but we'll talk about that later. All right. So, are you planning in the future to kind of like spread the brand into like merch, stuff that like souvenirs that people can have when they come to your conferences, of course.
You know, I never thought about that.
Like something small, like a pen, because you're in the literature. Yeah, you gotta have those. Even if it's what do you call them? The stoppers when you stop reading. Just that bookmarks. With your bookmarks, with the bookmark.
I got bookmarks.
Yeah, with your name on it, your little quotes. Like just today, the lab that came from today, and then that would be like,
yeah.
So I think that'd be dope.
I got bookmarks. You know, on my bookmark.
Mm-hmm.
Each section of the bookmark is my book with a synopsis of what the book is about, with a link where you can buy the book.
Yo.
And the link is my direct link where I keep inventory. And people purchase, they get a signed copy sent by me directly.
Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that? You heard? We have an author in the house today. Thank you.
Yeah.
So this particular project that you have coming up, with Leroy? Is it Leroy?
Les Brown.
With Les Brown. Is this your first collaborative project? Or have you ever worked with other authors before? What was yours?
I've worked with other authors. My fourth book is called Come Back from the Trail, which is a collaboration book from other authors throughout the country, which is like five of us. I don't know, not one of them.
So this what's the book about? You're collaborating, so you're bringing different elements into the space.
Yeah, so the book is called Your Story Sells. It talks about really how the reason why you had to go through the struggle you go through is because God knew you could get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really have to get through what you go through is because of the fact that your story still needs to know how to overcome it, because down the road, somebody's connected to you needs to hear your story.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a lifeline for their breakthrough.
For their breakthrough.
Yeah, and then me and Les Brown have the same story. I didn't even know that he had IEP. He was in speech classes. He was a special ed.
Mm-hmm.
Les Brown, he was also one that had a dream of being in the radio. But because they told him, you talk too fast, you stutter, you can't do it, he was committed.
He was committed to like, let me show you it can be done.
Yeah. Now he's one of the best to do it out there. And so being able to say, hey, I have a book with Les Brown is major.
Phenomenal.
We're going to talk about our stories together and how our story is now impacting lives.
Curse.
And I would say like this. Think of, you talk about the tree.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to plant seeds because it's a process to the fruit,
mm-hmm.
to get to the fruit. A lot of us just want the fruit without going through the process of that seed.
Mm-hmm. Water it, manure it, make sure no birds eat it.
You can't just do it one day and expect it, boom, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing to grow on a tree is the fruit. And something about seeing the fruit manifest from the seed you plant shows you that your labor did not go in vain.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I like that. There's that finally.
And so it's like, man, everything I had to go through,
it's worth it.
It was worth it because this is the fruit behind all this. And so this book with Les Brown talks about everything you're going through, everything you're encountering right now, everything that you are facing right now. Yes, life happens.
Mm-hmm.
Life be lifey.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't by something you did by yourself to get to the struggle,
mm-hmm.
life just happened, mm-hmm. it was because there was something powerful, and there's a seed that's being planted in this season.
Mm-hmm.
So when that seed is done being planted, the fruit of whatever it's going to be will happen to the next chapter.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, because the next chapter begins right then.
Like, you got it.
It's a
whole circle.
You got it. Yo, y'all learning today. This is the day. Yo, you disappeared on me. Today we are squashing the beef. Bring your cup here. This is how we squash the beef. Let's cheers. Like, I'm forgiving you because I'm a Christian. I forgive you. So when you disappeared for 2 years, you went and got married. Sit down. We're going to talk about this thing today. So
you got married.
Hello, man. This is beautiful. Man. Congrats, by the way.
Congrats, man.
Big time. Tell us, how did y'all meet?
Man.
How was the journey? And
bro, I don't have a lot of people talk about marriage on this platform, so it's really good and healthy to speak about it. It'll be 2 years in October, bro.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Congrats,
man. Happy anniversary. Thanks, it's coming up.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think with a lot of us men, we deal with men's stigma. You know,
a lot,
man. Yeah, a lot. We deal with the man stigma of manhood and what society says the man should be about, especially being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Either, you know, come on, godly manhood versus worldly manhood.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the world, but you're not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be this man who you're the provider and all this stuff. And it's like when you have somebody who sees you, when you can't see yourself as major,
bro, we forget ourselves a lot.
Yeah.
We're fighting a lot of wars.
Yeah.
Listening to you, go ahead.
Right? And that's major. This is how you are. I can be checked out. And my wife, she's a mental health therapist. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's times where I'll be checked out and be closed off, or I'll be triggered, not knowing I'm being triggered. She'd be like, babe, you okay? I'm like, yeah. She goes, no, you're not. Like, I see you. And this is dating. This is us dating. And I'm like, damn, you see me quite often, which was different for me. I was like, I never had somebody who sees me.
Like, they can feel you're not okay.
Yeah. And that's different. I was like, yo, like, this is crazy. So even through the hurdles of, like, Haiti, you know, you've seen what happened with the war several years ago with the immigration of Haitians, mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
That took a toll on me. She was there for that. She was like, I'm here. I'm doing this with you. You know, you're not by yourself. And you're telling me crying. You know, we had been. You don't want to cry for nobody.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm going to step outside.
Yeah, I'm not
taking a break. Just leave me alone, man. And then when we're not used to sincere, genuine people literally caring about what you're going through. So when people try to act like they're caring, you feel like, who sent you?
Yeah. I'm like, what's the catch? I'm like, hold on. Like, what? This is different. Like,
yeah.
What's the catch? Because I'm so used to, I'm a giver by nature, right? Acts of service in my love language. I just want so much of the community. I don't want nothing back from the community. This is me giving back.
This is what kills my soul.
Yeah. But it's like when you have that being reciprocated back to you, mm-hmm. and you never had that before, you're like,
you don't feel empty no more. It feels refreshing because it's that tap. Yeah.
You know, and so we did it for 7 months,
mm-hmm.
proposed. We got married on October 1st. And then, yeah.
Thank you all. Shout out to Wifey for making him, you see, healthy. When men meet the white women, look, now he's full. He's not skinny like me. He's full. He's happy. He can punch people like Mike Tyson in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great evening out here in Seattle. It's spring. What do you do for fun? Like, what's your day like when you're not like busy conferencing and booking and scheduling? What's your chill day like?
Man, my chill day, man, I have to go for walks, man, go to the water, chill at the waterfront.
Nature.
You know, what a wife wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I go to the range, do some therapy. It's not therapeutic. Go to the gun range.
Real quick, release it, come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, man. What do you see as the future of creatives like yourself in North Seattle? Like, not Seattle, of course, PNU. What do you see the future of art, creativity, the future of authors, the future authors coming up, the future photographers? What do you see the future? Are we expanding? Are we losing people? What do you think?
We are definitely expanding, man.
Yeah.
I always say, tell people this, no matter how saturated the market is, there's always room for you.
There's always room for you. Like,
no matter how saturated it is. A lot of people, they have these goals and dreams of being photographers, mm-hmm. authors, writers, mm-hmm. singers, dancers. And they're like, well, how can I fit in? Just do it. Think about
just
it.
Just do it.
Now you have TikTok. You have YouTube. People are going viral for TikTok.
You don't need one platform. It's the same thing, but you can throw it everywhere.
Anything about artists who see it, people got picked up
from
TikTok and from YouTube.
Like, and it's videos shot with an Android.
Yeah.
So sad.
So it's like, just do it and then see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think right now with Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. we're being put in the map.
I love it. Soccer's coming here. Coachella is coming here for 2025. So we have room. And you saw, I don't know if you've seen, we've expanded also the festivals we have in Seattle.
Yes.
The Black Fest now. We have a big Afrobeat festival annually. So the stars come here. So no one has to go. I love that for the city. I love that there are resources now to plug in the people.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I feel I'm a little jog ahead with is I feel that we have the opportunities, but we tend to plug in a lot of outsiders that inside is more. Like, we are willing to pay outsiders more than we pay insiders. For example, when they fly in people, right? Those artists are from other cities. If we could have some type of energy like, yeah, we're flying people from Boston. Can we fly our Seattle people also? Can you guys in Boston also get the same energy back? Because we're uplifting you. You're coming from Ohio. Seattle's on a higher level. So you come here and we do a festival. We have 4,000 people in a very big, diverse, big market. So I wanted that kind of reciprocity when I'm working with somebody from Cedar Rapids. What's in Cedar Rapids for me? How can we boil it? That's all. When they have this festival, they fly all these keynote speakers from big places. They're keynote speakers here.
I agree. I think what happens, man, is we want to see people win, but not if it comes with a cost. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's like a fine print. And I think what it is, I was talking about this the other day with my good friend, how come people want to book, you know, people from out of states to do stuff, but they have the same talent here in the Pacific Northwest, and we don't book them. And it's like the competition vibe. You know, I would say the only competition I have is yourself.
It's yourself, correct.
If I can't be someone saying I'm a community person, a community guy, I don't want to see you win.
It's giving past microaggression.
Microaggression. And it's like, hey man, I'm proud of you, I'm happy for you. Go ahead and do what you gotta do. However, I'm not gonna support you because of whatever it could be. Right? And at the end of the day,
honest feedback.
And at the end of the day, I think a lot of times the competition is people don't wanna see someone close to them going above them.
Oh, because they feel like they lose their person.
Okay, I see it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been real. I'm here with Joshai, talking about books, literature, life, art, and our community. Some of the parting shots. We actually done this interview where I'm really happy, man. I'm leaving the results of my questions, but now we're talking like buddies, so I love it.
Yeah.
In the community, what are some of the ways you think we could do better in terms of like bridging relationships? Yeah.
Bridging relationships, man.
We have African town, like for me, my example, right? We have African town and we have Africans who have never been to African town. We have events that bring us together. We have worked two more fest together, but we have two stages on a festival that says come together. Umoja means together. When can we, what do you think as a community we should do to have, like, yo, bro, we're the same people. We never have two stages for a white festival. Coachella has one stage. It's called Umoja, is unity.
Yeah.
That's just an example.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think, man, who are at these tables when these of us are being created?
Correct.
And I think that's the biggest question we have to ask ourselves is who's at the table, right? Because at the end of the day, everything goes back home to Africa, right? So when you go to Umoja Fest and you see two different platforms, one is all the Afro beats.
And they've never shifted it. It's always down there. They've never said, today, we're going to give Africa's this other stage.
Yeah.
Always it's down there.
I think we, in order for it to become togetherness, we have to break the what American culture have determined what Africans are about. And I don't think that, yes, you know, we're African Americans, but a lot of Black people will say, I'm not African, I'm African American. You're still African.
It's African in the word.
Yeah.
In the word.
But your root came from Africa.
And whichever way you look at
it. Just because you were born here, you are still African. You know what I'm saying?
And you don't have to totally change your personality or that. Just accepting that part is part of your roots. Yeah, you can run away from it.
And I think what we have to do is we have to get to a place of saying, you know what? Togetherness. Now, let's go ahead and share the same platform, the same stage together, so we can highlight the roots of the African diaspora. Because what happens is, I think what goes on is we want to represent the African diaspora without being on the same stage together. Until we could say, hey, Emoja togetherness, and until we could say, hey, I want you, my Kenyan brother, to be part of the planning committee. I want you, my Uganda brother, to be part of the planning committee, my Nigerian brother.
Give me ideas of, because you want this cocktail of What else can we add to make it, you know?
Yeah.
I like the fact that people like artists like Greg Free, they're always like stepping out.
Yeah.
The artists I've worked with in Seattle, a lot of the amazing artists I've worked with in Seattle, they're stepping out. They try different beats. You've seen how Afrobeat now is all over the world. You see now people are hopping on it. So that shows like the beauty of, you know what I'm saying? Like that cross-culture vibe, the infusion of different elements, it can shift the game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'll say for Emoja, man, we had to figure out who's in the planning committee and what person in the planning committee is from the motherland.
I'm just feeling like we should have one big stage.
You should.
That has different parts of Black excellence at one stage. Because when you split it, now we're like, you're those guys, and doing my this guy. And in the 5 years I've been here, it's always been like that. I'm always going to beef about that till we fix it. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. We're going to ask you to size before we go. What's your parting shot?
My what?
Your parting shot. What are you going to inspire them? Give them something they can quote. That, you know, I'm going to quote this and put it on my on that page you told me to put on the book. But this is my t-shirt.
One thing I'll say is this. Is whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. If that means you'll become a content creator, an author, a speaker, or whatever it is, put your mind to it. And if you find yourself stuck in the middle and life starts to happen, ask yourself, why am I in this? And what am I trying to be seen in this moment? Every struggle that you are having right now is creating an opportunity for your next level. Before your chapter ends, there's going to be a struggle. And once you endure that struggle, you're going to walk to the next chapter.
You heard it first here. Your struggle is a part recipe, the main ingredient, the paprika, the chai, the masala of your success. Thank you again for listening to us. This is Dubai Dennis. We're based in Seattle, Washington. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. This podcast will be all platforms where you consume your podcasts. I'm talking Spotify, Audacity, everywhere, Apple, Amazon Prime, and Audible Books, everywhere you consume. Even if you're consuming it on an Android phone, we still love you. Just consume it and leave the comments. Where can they follow you now?
You can find me on Instagram, coachwith_josias. Coach with underscore Josias.
Yes, I'll tag him on Instagram and check out some of his stuff. His books in Barnes & Noble. Where else can they find the books?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can go to Walmart.com, all major online bookstores. And also on my Instagram, there'll be a link. If you want to get it from me directly, you get a signed copy, shipped by me directly.
You understand that, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again. This is to all the readers out there. Keep believing in your dreams, the storytellers, the authors, the keynote speakers, the coaches, the retired photographers, all of you. We're sending love and joy. All right. Have a good day.